Welcome to the DBS Films Podcast, a behind-the-scenes look into making indie films. Learn from DBS Films about their process, tips, and fun stories that all come with making multiple movies a reality.
Hey everybody, welcome to DBS Films Podcast. My name is Kellen, with me as always is my brother Brendan. Together we make movies with DBS Films. In today's episode, we are talking about why Barbieheimer was such a successful event, and more importantly, what you need to do in the box office now in order to replicate that level of success. So be sure to take a look at our Discord channel online. We make movies for our fans with our fans. So if you ever want part of the movie making process, if you ever wanted to be in our movies, that is the place to be. Also, our newest film, Horror in the Forest, could be out by the time you're listening to this. I know I sound like a broken record, but hey, once it is out, we need those rentals, we need those reviews, because it allows us to keep doing what we're doing, which is making movies and providing these amazing opportunities to our amazing community. So again, you know, really just want to hop right into it. Barbieheimer, whatever the specifics are for that, it is easily crushing the box office and it has become a phenomenon. And I think I really wanted to highlight in this episode, what is the trick to success nowadays to get people to go to the box office of the movie theaters? And then the second episode, we're going to talk about a little detail of how this element to DBS actually plays into kind of what we're doing with the community. So I think the first place to start is the box office itself and movies itself. It is getting harder and harder to get people to go out and watch them. And I, you know, really want to highlight this right off the bat. It's mainly a convenience thing and a cost thing. You know, both of those, if you look at watching a movie, I prefer watching movies, you know, when I have any time there, and I prefer not paying for food and things like that. So like, you know, if you're basically going to go out there, pay $20, $25, $30 per person, depending on how much foods and everything you get, it becomes pretty expensive. And then you're in a theater, it can be loud, you could have some obnoxious people there. So I think the general public, especially the younger demographics, have been leaning more towards watching things on streaming, you know, having it right at your fingertips, having the convenience of your home, being able to pause the movie. All of those things are kind of benefits. And I think COVID really pushed us into that direction. What are kind of your thoughts on that?
I think that people still want to go see movies. And I really think that this kind of proves it. I think the issue you have is it's expensive. You know, it's $10 for a ticket, you know, per person. And that's, you know, a tough pill to swallow when you have, you know, a 70-inch, 80-inch television at home for free. So it definitely comes down to, can you get people to come to the theaters to experience these movies and pay the money that you want to pay? And for most people, it's one or two movies a year that they'll go see. And Barbie and Oppenheimer are probably some of the biggest movies that you're going to see this year. I do think that it shows that people still want to go to the movies. And I'd wager to bet that if you were able to either increase the quality of the food or remove the expensive tickets, I think people would still go. I think MoviePass is a great example of this. When MoviePass came out, it blew up so much that it bankrupted the company. But it still shows that people want to go to these theaters. They want to experience a movie with a whole bunch of other people. And there really is nothing like seeing a movie on the big screen. So I think the issue with the movie theaters is not that people don't want to go. It's just that it's cost prohibitive. It's really expensive. And, you know, that's going to come down to, like we said, convenience. You know, I could stay home or I could go to a movie theater. But I do think with, you know, the rise of the Alamo Drafthouse, with a lot of these smaller theaters, as long as you get the price point to where it needs to go, I think they're going to have success, or they have to create an event out of it. I think either of these two things could do it. But once again, the Hollywood system is so slow, it's so old, that they have no idea how to actually do this, how to pull this stuff off. I think that you're starting to see smaller community driven studios like A24 take, you know, they do a lot of events for their movies. And I think that you're going to see more of this stuff. I do think theater is a big revenue generator, especially for indie movies. Yes, it hasn't happened, you know, in a while, but you've seen this year, you've seen Outwaters, you've seen Winnie the Pooh, you've seen a lot of movies hit the theaters. A lot of these movies made a lot of money. And I think that indie films, especially now with the strikes going on, are going to kind of try and sneak in there. Whether or not the theaters are going to accept their stuff is going to be, you know, it's too soon to tell. But I do think the easiest way for an indie film to make money is actually through theatrical distribution. If they have the fans, if they have the marketing know-how to actually push people to these seats.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think this could be one of the real moments where we slightly somewhat disagree, because I would counter saying that I don't think people really want to go see a movie like as the driving force in the sense of, oh, I want to see this movie. I want to see this movie. But I do think people enjoy movies. So to me, I think you have to make it an event. You have to make it a reason to go out. And if you make it an event, then you're saying, hey, here's the event that you're paying for. Here's the movie that's part of it. People are going to enjoy the movie. So it's almost kind of, to me, the decision isn't, oh, I want to see this specific movie. It's, oh, I want to participate in this event. And I think I want to kind of highlight some examples, because really, I mean, honestly, before Barbenheimer like ended up doing what it did with the box office, this was a terrible year for movies. I mean, you had Indiana Jones was basically pulling back. Pretty much all of the major, you know, Marvel movies and things like that were just kind of unperforming. You had The Flash, which is just a massive bomb, and now you don't know what's kind of going on there. So there's all these different, you know, writings on the wall when it comes to the actual movie itself. But I want to highlight movies that I think are doing it very well. And number one, Barbenheimer is just crushing it. But I think they're making it, in my opinion, it is a reason to go and take a picture at a movie theater. And if you have a reason for people on social media to get dressed up, to go with their friends, to show up and take a photo, that's what you need. And the other one that did this really well, this was a while back, was The Gentle Minions, where that blew up on social media, where everyone was dressed up in suits. You go out there, you make your fun TikTok video, and bam, you love it. And then I think the third one that I want to highlight that I think did an amazing job was Blumhouse with Megan. And they really leaned into that little Megan dance. You had people doing the dances. I would say it wasn't on as much of an event scale, but to me, you need to make this big event in order to get people out there. But when people are out there, they're going to enjoy the movies because movies are fun. But I don't think movies are that driving force anymore. Now, I'm sure there is a crowd that enjoys that. But I think if you want to get that level of success and get that high margin, you have to make it an event now.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you on that. I don't think people are going to movies to take social media pictures and go on TikTok. I think they're going to see Christopher Nolan. They're going to see Oppenheimer. Barbie is a massive brand that they're going to see. I think you see it with Insidious. Insidious, they wanted to see that. They liked that that genre. They liked the world that they created. $100 million. Boogeyman, Stephen King, wanted to go see that. I think the movies that are flopping right now are the retreads, the ones that are continually pushing either content down our throats, the multiple sequels, and it's just the Marvel Disney stuff. It's just getting old. They want to see original stuff. I'm excited that Barbie did really well because it was an original movie, and it was a tough movie to take a concept like that and do really well. I think it just, you know, it shows like a little bit different thinking, the second level, and a little bit more creativity. I think that in order to get movies or to have a box office success, you have to get both the boyfriend and the girlfriend or the significant others together to do this. And you see this all the time in the horror genre. It's why horror movies are pretty successful. If you can get both participants of the couple to go to the movie, you'll make a lot of money. Get Out, one of the best examples of this. Females want to see it. Males want to see it. It was split down the middle on demographics, and it turned out to be great. What is Oppenheimer and Barbie? The guys wanted to go see Oppenheimer, go blow up some stuff, and then the girls wanted to go see Barbie. I'll go see Oppenheimer. You go see Barbie. Boom, you have $1 billion with two movies. Same thing with Titanic. Why was Titanic so successful? Well, guys going into it thought it was a disaster movie. The ship's going to sink. And then all of a sudden, what is it? It's a love story. And, you know, the guys are in it for the disaster of the ship sinking, the last, you know, part of the movie. And then the girls are in it for the 3 hours of Leonardo DiCaprio. So I think that's how you have to make a good movie. I see it on the indie level all the time. If you can get both demographics, you're going to have a really good time. So I thought it was really interesting. It's the second time they did this. If you remember Dark Knight and Mamma Mia, they had Dark Mama. So this was actually a marketing ploy that they did, I think it was 10, 15 years ago. And they just did it again. And it's great. You know, I'm happy for it. I think it's going to push a lot of people to the movies. But once again, when's the next movie that's going to be big that's going to come out? Probably in December. We just don't have that back catalog. We don't have movies consistently coming out from up and coming directors that are doing work. So once again, hopefully this kind of fills the indie bubble that, you know, theaters are going to start to take a little bit more risk now that we have the Outwaters, now that we had Winnie the Pooh do really well, Skinamarink did really well. I'm hoping that they can kind of push some of this content in there and at least give it a shot, as opposed to only letting the Hollywood stuff go through for so long.
So I will want to clarify my point, but I am going to continue to fight on it. I would say that the people who do enjoy, like, people will enjoy watching Barbie and Oppenheimer, but there is such a level of people who will just wait for it to be on a streaming service that won't go to the movies, that because they can go to the movies, get dressed up, put on a bunch of pink, put on a suit, take their picture, say they did Barbieheimer, post the TikTok, all of those things is what brings it to that next level. So people would like that movie, but people would just watch that movie at home. They won't go to the movie theaters for that movie. Now, I would say there's people like you, you know, big film buffs who are like, oh my God, Oppenheimer, this is how it's supposed to be seen. But I think as the generations get more and more and people are more used to, people are perfectly fine watching shows and movies on their phone. So I don't think it's the big experience, the thing there. I think it becomes more of that event type thing. So it's probably somewhere in the middle. But that's my theory on it, is the movie isn't the driving force to get them to the movie theater. People will want to watch the movie, but what got them to the movie theater was to be able to dress up, take these pictures, say you did it, do all of those things. So again, we'll never know who's true, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's a W for me. But the next thing I want to talk about is how much social media impacts these events in these movies. And I can very easily tell when a movie is going to be successful based on how the algorithms and everything are pushing it. And I think the big issue, we talk about this all the time, is what ends up happening is when you are making these movies, because of how expensive it is to make the movie itself, to market the movie, the reason you're seeing a lot of reused IPs is because it is a safer move from the executive's decision point of saying, well, people at least know Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones. People at least know these, you know, Halloween movies or these horror movies. People at least know, you know, this brand or these stars. So they really kind of lean on that, because it's really been hard to get people out there because you have so much different media sources out there now. You have streaming, you have YouTube, you have just TikTok. You know, back in the 90s, if you wanted to see something, you basically had to go to the movies so they could push way more original things. You would just talk about how the landscape has shifted, because, I mean, traditional media for the longest time was super easy. You got a new movie, you run it on TV, you get a commercial for the TV, everyone watches TV. Now you have people who are cutting the cords. They never even watch TV. Sure, you can run ads on different mediums and different platform, but it's nowhere near as effective or easy as it was 20 years ago to get people to show up.
Yeah, it's more difficult as far as just the blanket approach. I do not think that just having your trailer and blasting it on a whole bunch of channels works anymore. I mean, it still probably works. I know that's A24's most used platform is just blanket ads of trailers. So if you watch Instagram, if you watch TikToks, they just do large ad buys. And, you know, I think it works if you have a good product and you have people who understand your product. But for most of the newer stuff, you're seeing a lot of grassroots marketing. I know they did the Summer of Barbie. Whoever handled the press releases for Barbie, they had a whole bunch of, they had a giant 3D Barbie out in like Dubai or something like that. Immediately they hit the TikTok influencers, all the YouTube influencers, everyone was blanketed. So a ton of grassroots stuff. And if you get something like the Megan dance or you get the Barbie, you know, people, that stuff spreads. It has a virality to it. And that is something that's free advertising for you as a movie studio. For every person that goes and shares or likes a story, you know, that's what you want to do. And that's why it's important. Why we always say, you know, when our stuff comes out, share and like it. Because if everyone, you know, as you're giving this these clips to other people to share and spread, They can reach 500,000 people. And that stuff adds up, especially those people are liking and resharing. I think we had a lot of success on the Force of Death launch with just paying TikTok people to promote this. It was just movie review people or people who are promoting clips, trying to reach different demographics. And I saw the results very well on Tubi. And this is my first time really kind of using the grassroots marketing sense, because it's difficult. It takes a lot of time. You have to contact these people individually. And it's just not as easy as setting up ads on Facebook, on Instagram, and clicking a button. But it's definitely something we're going to utilize. We're going to continue to utilize, but you're seeing it at a much larger scale on these larger movies. I think Blumhouse is probably the best person at it right now. You see all this stuff everywhere. It trends. So, I mean, it's just, it's marketing in general is transforming. People don't want to see ads on their TV. There's a reason we have ad blockers. They don't want to see ads, you know, on anything else. There's a reason why Netflix has subscriptions. The funny thing is it is coming back with Tubi, but for the most part, the buy to click ads or the, just the giant impression ads, people are ad blind. You know, for the last 10 years, I think that's gone downhill, especially now that you have, you know, millennials and the other generations coming up. I think you have to be a little bit more creative. But the good news is the people who are more creative, who put thought into this stuff, are going to be rewarded with more people going to their movies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely the case of people are now trained for ads to easily block them out. But when you get to that big core item that Barbieheimer did, I will say there was an interesting episode, a podcast called The Town is one of my favorite ones. It talks about kind of more in detailed Hollywood stuff, but they had the guy in charge of the marketing for like the Barbie movie. And they did a lot of smart things. They did things like building the Malibu house, you know, really traditional ones. But when asked about Barbieheimer, they had nothing to do with that. They didn't coin Barbieheimer. They leaned into it like towards the end. But the concept, and the same thing happened with Gentle Minions, where someone on TikTok's like, you know, it's going to be a cool idea. What happens if we go watch Barbie and Oppenheimer at the same time? That'd be awesome. It'd be like a marathon of movies. And it's so crazy because Barbie is super one way and Oppenheimer is the other. So like the fact that that all fell into place was kind of just, again, the social system that is in TikTok is really amazing when you end up having things like that. So then you have people, you know, participating in it, and then it just really explodes the movie to that next level. So when you do get things going viral like that, and you do get them onto that next level, you now have basically an unlimited ad spend because people are doing it for, you know, your ability to do it. I think Blumhouse was probably more tactical about it. I think Barbieheimer got a little bit more lucky. But the reason I call Blumhouse more tactical is because he was doing things like, I mean, that dance, I feel like, was in the script from the very beginning to be a social media thing. And as soon as they dropped the trailer, they had a lot of really big influencers wearing Megan outfits doing the Megan dance. And then before you know it, everyone's doing the Megan dance. And that's just, when that came out and that was circling, I knew Megan would be a hit. And surprise, surprise, Megan was a hit. It got its sequel. I think another interesting one was Smile. The way that they did Smile with the interaction of just kind of having those smiles and everything there was really interesting to see. So I think the big thing that this shows me too is you really need to be more tactical and more strategic, or hope something happens, you know, as kind of, I think, the case in Barbieheimer, you know, again, of having those two movies premiering basically at the same time and one being so dark and gritty and one being Barbie, I think is really that mix that had it happen. But if you're having, like, if you're an executive now, I think the issue is, I don't think that many people are going to be good at this. I think you're going to continue to see the traditional Hollywood struggle. I think you are going to see, again, Blumhouse being very successful with it. I think here and there you'll have movies that pop up, but I don't think the executives and the marketing teams can recreate this. I don't think it's something that, hey, sweet, we did Barbieheimer, let's go combine two movies and it'll be massive like this one.
I mean, I'll bet you a pickleback shot that this was done on purpose because they're both made by Universal. It's the same companies produce the same movies. And I know that they had a good success with it back doing it with the Dark Knight and Mamma Mia. But as far as recreating this stuff, no, you can't do this. This is organic stuff. And I do think the reason that Marvel and Disney movies are having trouble is because they're going back to what they did before, which is just, like I said, ad impressions, just pumping a whole bunch of stuff out there saying, go see our movie. You like this, go see it, go see it, go see it. And I think people just, they're blind to that. And they've, the quality of the movies have diminished. And I think that grassroots marketing, why people don't do it very much is it's very hard. It's almost like making an Instagram or a TikTok video. Some work really, really well. And you could try your best at trying to, you know, capture this, audience via the trend or the algorithm. But for the most part, it's impossible. You have like one pop off for every 100 that you do. We only have so many videos of Chloe running into a glass door, and it's just very hard to replicate that. Why that works, no, you can't even break it down. There's no way to kind of figure that stuff out. So, you know, grassroots marketing, I think it's going to take off. I think you're going to start to see more of it, but you have to do it in a way that's not corporate. You can't be forcing people to go, you know, essentially look at your movies and buy the movies because it feels fake. And the minute something feels fake, you get dishonesty. It feels like someone's lying to you. And when that happens, you're just going to be like, no, you know, screw these guys. I'll go try and do something else. So the only thing is that Blumhouse continually does this, and he does a very good job. So whoever does his marketing, very, very good. But I do think that marketing, with how much content is out there, I think it's hitting the Hollywood system now. How we have to fight for every single penny, every single eyeball, all the visibility on Tubi, on Amazon, all these platforms that we're on, the indie struggle is extremely, extremely difficult. Hollywood used to just be able to put a movie out in a movie theater and make $100 million. I think that visibility struggle that the indies are facing is now slowly coming to Hollywood. And I think it's going to actually make better movies, but it's also going to make a lot of people think about, hey, you know, we really have to keep marketing in mind before we even greenlight these projects.
I think you might owe me a pickleback. I'm just saying, I'm gonna get the timestamps from the town, but I heard the marketing guy say he had nothing to do with Barbieheimer, the concept. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, in the town as well, too, we're getting free shout outs here. They mentioned that Universal put Barbie up against Nolan's movie because they were upset how Nolan walked away from Universal after the movie. So apparently they were trying to basically take away his thunder, too. Now, again, could be there, but what's your evidence? Where's your evidence? I'm getting myself a pickle back. Whatever happened, though, I think it's fantastic. I think the one thing I want to end on now is, this is great for movies. I mean, it really is. Like, you're talking about a big, big pullback in the entertainment industry, just in stocks, when it comes to whether it was the Netflix correction, which now Netflix is back. But I mean, to be able to hit a home run like this, it's really good for everyone involved in this industry. I think Greta Gerwig is going to be like the number one IT director now after something like this. I'm sure you're going to see a long IP of Barbie moving forward, but this is really, really good to see. Because again, if you look at how the movies were tracking this year, sure, you had Top Gun for last year, but Top Gun was kind of like a return to movies and a nostalgia one. So it met that same thing. But you just want to kind of talk about how overall this should put some much needed fuel on the fire of movie making.
Yeah, I mean, you had Avatar, which made $1 billion, which I'm very questionable about. I think that was some kind of interesting math they used. But I mean, once again, if you have a good movie, people will go to the movie theaters. They will do it. The problem, I think, is that there's just not a lot of quality movies that are going to get that person to come out there for $10 per person, and then $10 for popcorn and all this other stuff. If you had a movie pass, if you had tickets for free and they made their money on food, I think you'd have a different story. I think people go to bars to watch the sporting for free, and they make their money back on food and drinks. Now, something very interesting is happening with the Paramount clause, which is allowing people who make movies to actually go and have their own movie theaters again. This could be very, very good, or it could be very, very bad. We're going to find out really quick. But basically, the only reason that movie theaters have to charge so much money, and why popcorn is $15 when you can make popcorn for pennies, on literally pennies, is because the margins are all over the place, because the movie theaters are middlemen. They are competing with the studios. They have to take a slice of tickets. movie theater or the studios basically tell them, hey, you got to play by our rules. You got to give us this percentage or you're not going to have Spider-Man. You're not going to have Avengers. You're not going to have all this stuff. But if movie theaters start to open up that are boutique, like A24 could have their own studio, their own movie theater. What do you think A24 is going to do with the movie theater? It's going to be probably pretty cool. So I definitely think that now that this clause is gone, you're going to start to see some really cool stuff. On the flip side is now Hollywood could be like, all right, we're only showing our movies, no indies, no nothing else. Just you're just going to watch Marvel movies on the Marvel Studio movie theater. And that could be really bad because that segments it and it gets vertical integration all the way through. And that's kind of like how Netflix is really kind of messing up the distribution and streaming models. They have complete vertical integration. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I think for indies, if we can get some cool indie studios to open up that are indie friendly, and they're there, Alamo Drafthouse, and you know, we have the Enzian around here. The problem is they're smaller and you still need distribution, higher up distribution to get these deals. But my hope is that with this clause being gone, more people will take a little bit more risks on the movie theaters and we'll start to see some more indie friendly movie theaters come through.
I definitely agree. And I will say A24 theaters would for sure be like any overpriced burger or taco place downtown where like you walk in and there's like high ceilings and just weird stuff there. I feel like that would be their vibe. But I think it is a great segue into our next episode where we're going to talk about how DVS Films could potentially benefit from that model you're talking about of having theaters or developing things or developing events. Because again, I feel like we're already leaning into this development of model, but that's going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Be sure to go ahead and take a look at our Discord channel online because we make movies for our fans with our fans. So if you ever want to be part of the movie making process, that is the place to be, my friends. Also, Horror in the Forest is finally out. Go ahead, give it a rent and review. It means the world to us. But until then, have a good one, my friends.